Morning. Morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Best seats in the house. Yeah. This is a good place to come to get out of the heat. I'm glad we've got air conditioning. Officiated at a funeral. Associate member here on Friday, and that church conditioned, and it was hot, and I just take this for granted how nice we've got it. So you who built this back in 1996, thank you for your foresight. This is a blessing. Don't take it for granted. Nice to have you here. There's two announcements I need to make. One is on Friday, that's our beef and corn feed. So for a variety of jobs. Come on, help. If you'd like to come and shuck corn, come on over about 8:30. I said shuck corn, not chuck corn. Get the old ear tuned in. anyway, Friday, bring your family, bring your friends, bring your neighbors. Last year's the theme was bigger beef, bigger buns. This year it's bigger beans. And we won't go any further. That's the first thing. The second thing is in the narthex, there's a box that our council has put out. Probably comes from stewardship. Anyway, it has to do with our offerings. Our church has mandated that 10% of our general offerings and loose offerings go to support mission. And I suppose our budget or what we receive each year, 10% of the general offerings is about $16,000 to $18,000. So 5% of that, or about $8,800, goes to support the Lutheran Church in Northeast Minnesota, and the other we designate for mission projects. And our council has asked congregation members, if you know someone who needs some help, if you have a program or a group that you'd like to help, to make us aware of, please write it down and drop it in the box. I know someone was down in Biloxi, Mississippi last winter, and they said that church is still doing help. They were the first, I don't know if you remember, but years ago we had a mail auction, and they were the first church to send something up, and when they got hit by Katrina, we sent people down to help them. Someone said they can still use help because they distribute medicine. So they wrote that name for the church in the box in Biloxi and put that in there. Someone wrote down last night that we should help maybe a church or a project up in Duluth where they got flooded up. And so if you know of a benevolent project that we can support, that's what that box is for, okay? If you've got something in mind that you think could use some support or some prayers or some money, that's what that box is for. So sign up if you. I think that's all we need to announce. Nice to have you here. Full church in the morning together to praise our Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for calling us into your family. We thank you for bringing us to this place at this time. 2012, summer. Hot, humid. But we're reminded of your love for us. We're reminded of the high calling you called us to share your love with others. And so stir your spirit in us today that we might be awakened to the wonders of your work in the world. Give us the courage and the strength and the heart to serve you this day. Bless us with your spirit. In your Son's name we pray.
Amen.
And in honor of the heat and humidity, our opening hymn is Joy to the World. And forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Gently the cross of grief. The first reading for today is the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. In Jesus, all of God's plans and purposes have been made known as heaven and earth are united in Christ. Through Jesus, we have been chosen as God's children and have been promised eternal salvation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He has destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. The psalm is Psalm 85. Please respond where you see the bold print and where you see the bold R. Read the refrain. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this seventh Sunday of Pentecost is found in the sixth chapter of St. Mark. As Jesus and his disciples begin to attract attention, Mark recalls the story of John the Baptist's martyrdom. Like John, Jesus and his disciples will also suffer at the hand of those opposed to the gospel of salvation. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said it is Elijah, and others said it's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 697.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This week I was able to take a few days off and headed up to Bayfield, Wisconsin with my wife and my faithful, trusty traveling companion, Bear, the wonder dog. Tuesday morning, Bear and I wandered down to the pier to watch some sailboats. The breeze was blowing, the sailboats were out there, and there was one sailboat that caught our attention. It was a boat that was bearing down right on this big, big pier, and it was going awfully fast. The woman at the helm had a stricken look on her face. The guy was up front of the boat wrapping up the lines and putting the mainsail together, and he looked up, and he saw that this boat was going awfully fast and coming straight for the pier, and as he dropped the lines, he ran back and hollered, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he grabbed the wheel and he turned that wheel as hard as he could, and that boat just went shh, just missed the pier. I mean, he could have really crunched. And then he looked over at his traveling companion and said, "What were you doing?" And she said, "I'm not the captain, I'm just a passenger." And I thought about that the rest of the day. I'm not the captain, I'm just the passenger. Those are the truest words that have ever been spoken, because in our world today, we're not the captain either. We're just passing through. We have one captain who's in charge, who's in control. Oh, we like to think we're in control. We control our... I was going to say I control my behavior. We try to control our... We try to lead our families. We try to run our companies. We try to lead our committees. We try to set a good example. We like to think we're in control, but sooner or later, life has a way of throwing us a curveball. And we have an accident. Or we get cancer. Or our spouse dies. Or our kid gets in trouble. Or on and on and on and on and on. And we've got to sit back and say, "I'm not the captain, Lord. I need your help, Lord. I can't do it on my own. You know, I'm just passing through. I'm not the captain. I'm just the passenger." In our letter to Ephesians that Shar read, written by Paul, Paul tells us that God has created us and destined us for adoption. God has adopted us as his children. Destined us. We're not going to get into this predestination business today. We'll save that for next week. Or maybe, Wally, when you preach, you could take that one on. That's a whole other subject. But the point is that we have been adopted by God. Before time began, God chose us for, before the foundation of the world, Paul writes us, that we were chosen to be Christians, to be part of the family of God, to be followers of God. God adopted us as his children. He called us to be Christians. He called you and me to be Christians. People always ask, and you've asked it and we've thought about it ourselves, what about those people in deepest, darkest Africa? What about those who live in the jungles in Brazil who have never heard the name of Jesus? What about those Asians who have never heard the name of Jesus? What about the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Sikhs and all of the rest? I don't think Paul wants us to worry about them. He wants us to live a life of love and respond to God's love. He has called us to be Christians, so we have to live as great a Christian life as we can. God wants us to be his children. He chose us to be, before the foundation of the earth, Paul says, to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's what Paul writes in that letter to Ephesians, to be holy and blameless. Holy, definition is to be pure. Blameless means to be without blame, without fault. I think you could translate that a different way. I think he would write, and you could write it this way, that he wants us to live excellent lives in our Christian faith. He wants us to live excellent lives. When I think of holy, pure, I think of, you know, being holier than thou. It's kind of, I've got a tainted thought with that. You know anyone who's holier than thou? I do. I think of holy roller. Do you know any holy roller? I do. Not so much anymore these days, but those are people that I don't really like to be around. Holy rollers, being holier than thou. What Paul is writing is to live a life of excellence, of reflecting God's goodness and glory through our words and through our deeds. You've heard, was it Friday? I did this funeral for Donna, wonderful Christian lady. Lived a life that was excellent. Loved her kids, served, went about, never raised her voice that I heard. Said only good things about people. She reflected the joy and the love and the hope of God. She didn't flaunt it over anybody. She exuded excellence because of what God, because of her faith. She had immersed herself into God's love and faithfulness. Yesterday I was out at Clear Lake. A gal had called me a number of months ago and asked if I would baptize some of the people in her family. I said, sure. You know, can we do it at Clear Lake out there at the public access at the swimming beach? I said, sure. Do you dunk or do you splash? I do anything. I said, how do you want it? So half were dunked and half were splashed. We were all washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. We took a bath, and it was great. And this was a clan that ended up coming. I baptized a 35-year-old woman, an 18-year-old high school graduate, a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a little baby. And I asked, how did you come to call me and ask me to do this? They had some people there from the E Free Church and some people there from the Baptist Church. And I asked, well, how did you choose, you know, call me? They said, a few years ago, you did a funeral for a fellow who lived up in Palisade. And I had baptized this fellow and talked with him and shared with him. And then when he died at age 64, 65, we hosted the funeral for him. And they said, your congregation, not knowing us, made such a good impact. You shared the love of Jesus. You didn't judge us because we hadn't been to church, but you served and you loved and you cared for us. And we thought of your church. And we thought of you. And I thought, you know what? That's living your Christian faith, a life of excellence. So thank you. You lived a life of excellence that made people want to come to know the Lord. And we talked about immersing ourselves. I said, so you're baptized, so what? And that's, you know, so we're baptized, so what? The so what is, if we immerse ourselves in God's love, if we say our prayers and study the scriptures and worship and find the fellowship of believers, we can reflect the love of God through our words and deeds. We don't have to be holier than thou. We don't have to march around like we're the only ones. Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, they're called to be Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims and to be the best they can be. You and I are called to be Christians and to reflect God's love through Christ. We share that love and others might say, you know what? I want to live a life like that. When there's turmoil, when the world's throwing you curveballs, when the hounds of hell are barking at your feet, when we can trust God that He will travel with us and take care of us, when we can walk with Him and say our prayers knowing that whether we live or die, like Paul says, we're the Lord's, that's living our baptism, and that's living a life of excellence. That's being holy and blameless So God chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose you. He adopted you. He chose me. He chose me. Oh, we've got a bunch of... I don't know how to say this. We have lots of denominations that worship with us. Let me just take a poll. How many of you were raised in the Catholic Church? How many were raised in the Episcopal Church? How many were Orthodox? There's still some Orthodoxes here, huh? Yeah, how many were some really conservative Lutheran churches? Yeah. See, we've got all kinds of backgrounds. In some denominations, they say the unforgivable sin is to commit suicide. That's not, the way I read the scriptures, it's not an unforgivable sin. That tells me that someone is hurting so badly that they're not able to handle life. That tells me there might be some issues, depression or whatever happening, that they're in trouble and they can't find any answers. There's only one thing that God says. He says, I'll always love you. He says, I'll always love you. I'll never stop loving you. I have adopted you. You're my child. I will always love you. But the one thing he does is gives us free will. And so, he loves me. The only thing he says I can't do anything about is when I say, sorry, God, I don't believe and I don't want to follow you. And I walk away. He'll always love me. He'll always be there for me. But we cut ourselves off. We walk our way. He'll always love us. And he wants us back. But he gives us free will to walk away. And so, and you cut yourself off from friends, from family, from community. You cut yourself off from immersing yourselves in love and hope and peace and joy, patience and kindness. You cut yourself off from an environment where you can be excellent. And so we live in response to God's love. That's what Paul is telling us today in this scripture lesson, okay? Don't be holier than thou. Don't... I've been around some Bible thumpers. I got some bumps on my head. Don't be banging anybody over the head with your scriptures. Live a life of holiness and love and care and joy. And do it because God loves us. That's a life of excellence. You've been adopted by God. You're loved by God. How's your response to God's love? Think about these things. Amen. God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise. Let us turn to the offering prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to help us all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. With reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole human family, let us offer our prayers to God. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the church, for leaders to proclaim your grace, and prophets to call us to your justice and truth, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For judges and magistrates, political and civic leaders, firefighters, police officers, arbitrators and mediators, farmers and laborers, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For the earth, that the land will yield its increase and all creation flourish with your prosperity, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For all who work for cures for cancer and other diseases, for all who work to prevent and treat malaria, for all living with suffering, sickness, or despair. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Ron Hass, Gary Miller, Bob Vorlichek, Marilyn Samuelson, Dean Newman, and those others who need your healing touch. We pray for ministries of compassion and care in our community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For members of this assembly who give generously of their time, abilities, and gifts, for the grace to see your presence in the loved ones and strangers we will meet this day. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift that has been won for Donna Hewart. Comfort Donna's family in their mourning. We ask your blessing to be with our loved ones this day, wherever they find themselves. Keep them in your care. Walk with us this week, Lord, and allow us to live lives of excellence that would reflect your love and glory. We give thanks for all the faithful who were marked with the seal of the Spirit. May we too receive the pledge of our inheritance to the praise of your glory. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
And so Jesus at his last supper took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink this in remembrance of me." Let us join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
All are welcome at the Lord's table. Come, eat and drink. Please be seated. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray.
God of abundance, with this bread of life, a cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 677.